Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And all I can say is, it is a good word. It is a great word this morning. We will be in the book of 1 Samuel. Actually, we will be finishing 1 Samuel today, going into 2 Samuel, and wow, it's a lot going on, let's just put it that way, in our word this morning. I always say that when you read the Word of God, it's like the greatest book ever written. It has everything in it. It has love. It has joy. It has peace. It has intrigue. It has mystery. It has your faith. It has every foundation you can think of. It is awesome. You know, I love the Word of God, and I just get all excited about reading the Word and teaching the Word and feeling a part of the Word, because God has grafted us in as His sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters of God. And this is our story. This is our history. This is where we come from. And it's something that you should embrace, that you love God. God loves us. And the fact that He says, I will never leave you or forsake you, you can bank on it. You can take it to the bank. You can know that you are special and you are loved. We are. I get all teary-eyed. We are blessed beyond measure to know that no weapon formed against us will prosper, because we belong to God. We are His children. David went through some stuff, having to deal with Saul and his crazy. Why? Saul was disobedient. Disobedient, doing what he was told specifically not to do. To wait on Samuel. He will be there. And he told you, I'll be there in 7 days. He didn't tell you what time, but he said, I'll be there. He said, you're going to walk in fear and do what you're not supposed to do. That you have no anointing to do. That is not something that is not your assignment. And then when the anointing is taken away, you're going to try to hold on to what's not yours any longer. You're going to hate. You're going to do all these things that are not of God and wonder why things aren't going well for you. That God sends you someone that loves you. David loved Saul. Don't anybody get it twisted. He could have killed Saul more than once. Why? Because he loved Saul. And above all, he loved God. Samuel, because this is his book. His mother prayed for him, prayed to have him. God will grant your prayer. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is know that you are God's children and special, that the rock of, and you have to say in your heart, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And that is the title of our lesson this morning. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Even though you may have a mess, you may be in a mess. From your mess is going to come a message, a powerful message on the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. David knew that the rock of his strength and his refuge was God. Even as he was running from Saul for his life. And God is going to bless him. So let's get into our word. Father God in heaven, we thank our rock and our strength. Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning with a got to go to work in our spirit, for we work for you. Father God, do not take your anointing away from us. Guide us and lead us in the way that we should go, Lord God, just as children, so we will not depart from you or from what you have put in our hearts and spirit. Lord God, let this word penetrate minds, hearts, and spirit. Let it be a balm in Gilead to heal the weary soul. Lord God, let your people know I am with you. Let them hear your voice. I am with you. And we will say, speak, Lord. For we will know your voice. Father God, let us walk in righteousness today and always. Let us know that we are special because you have made us such. Lord, let this word guide us and lead us as we read it and study it. Let us meditate, or help us to meditate day and night, that we may not fall for the wiles of the enemy. Father God, thank you. For it is in you that we live, we move, and we have our being. We thank you this morning, for all things come from you. Lord, thank you for the do-over. I pray that today is better than yesterday, and that much that is required of us, we will accomplish. In the name of Christ Jesus, I lift up this word, your mighty name, and I thank you this morning, Father God. May this word be a blessing to our souls. In Jesus' name, I pray, trusting and believing in you. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who truly is the source of my strength. For God knows I would be still asleep had he not wakened me this morning. We got to understand that when it's time to go to work, we got to be timely. We got to be on time. And I'm speaking for myself. I like being on time. I tell you, when it comes to certain things, the enemy will throw a stumbling block, especially if you have a serious problem with procrastination. And I have a problem sometimes with such. But I know that God is working on me and working on it. Hallelujah. So let's give God glory, honor, and hallelujah praise today and move forward. And the word of God says in 1 Samuel chapter 29, verse 1. So please join me. Get your Bibles out in 1 Samuel chapter 29. And we're going to go on through 1 Samuel today. We're going to finish it up. And I will be coming out of New King James Version. And as spoken before, I am in the Charles Stanley Life Principles Study Bible. Biblical principles for each day of the year. It is a daily Bible that I would say to everybody, you need to get this Bible in your biblical arsenal. It is good to have. It is a way to meditate on the word of God day and night because it gives you a daily word every day. For those that are just joining us on Fridays, we do either the Old Testament or the New Testament. And And what I do is I read Friday's word, Saturday's word, and Sunday's word, one or the other. We will be in the Old Testament today. And then on Sunday, we will be in the New Testament and probably either in Proverbs or Psalms, whichever God gives me. Today, God gave me a psalm for this morning, and we're going to start in our psalm, and then we're going to go into our 1 Samuel word. We will finish 1 Samuel and then start in 2 Samuel today also. God willing, as we say. And time does not run out. So I am going to start this morning in our psalm. And our psalm, which is the title of our lesson today, is Psalm chapter 62, verses 1 through 12. And it says this. And it goes to the chief musician, to Jonathan, a psalm of David. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him only, and this is our word for today, is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. God is our defense. We don't have to worry about what anybody else is saying, what anybody else is doing. We know who we belong to. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of the Most High, and he is your refuge. He is your defense. He is your God. I shall not be moved. We got to have that in our spirit. Remember when we were children, I remember the children, I shall not be moved. It's like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. We cannot allow the enemy to keep knocking us off our square. We got to stand firm on the rock. We got to stand firm on the word. We got to stand firm knowing who we belong to. I am a child of God, and you got to let the devil know, can do all you do, but you cannot do any more than my dad allows. And that's what we got to understand, that the enemy cannot do more to you than God allows. When we get to the book of Job, you will understand what I'm speaking of. But let's get back to our Psalms. And I'm going back to verse number 5. And it says, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my strength, glory, the rock of my strength, the refuge. My God is in God. I'm going to read it again. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vapor. Men of high degree are a lie, are weighed on the scales. They are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice, I have heard this. That power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his works. No one can do what you are called to do. Your work is your work. Your calling is your calling. Don't allow the enemy to knock you off your square. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. We got to speak and have conversations with the Lord. You know, don't worry about what he see, he or she, or boo-boo and them down the street are doing. Don't allow the boo-boos to get in your heart. Kick them to the curb. You know, we got to start speaking truth to power. We got to start telling our young women to be strong and courageous. You do not have to have a man in your life to be who you are. God can be that man in your life. Christ Jesus is the man in your life. And when you trust in God, everything else falls into place. God loves us, and he wants the best for us. Give your absolute to God and watch everything else fall into place. Now let's get into our word and see what happens with King David and with King Saul. And we are in, again, 1 Samuel chapter 29. And we are going to finish 1 Samuel this morning. And it says this, the Philistines reject David. Then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by a fountain, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. And says, what are these Hebrews doing here? And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years? And to this day I have found no fault in him since he defected to me. So Achish is like, yeah, he belongs to me. But the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, make this fellow return, that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him, and do not let him go down with us to battle. In the battle, he becomes our adversary. For with what could he reconcile himself to his master, if not with the heads of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? Then Achish called David and said to him, surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and your goings out and your comings in with me in the army is good and in my sight. But to this day I have found evil in you. I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord do not favor you. Therefore, return now and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines. So David said to Achish, but what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king? Then Achish answered and said to David, I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Now, therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you, and as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. David's conflict with the Amalekites. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag attacked. Ziklag had burned it with fire and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreelites, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue the troops? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook of Besor, where they stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook of Besor. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no food nor drank water for 3 days and three nights. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong and where are you from? And he said, I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite. And my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Keratites in the territory which belongs to Judah, of the southern area of Caleb. And we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? He said, swear to me by God that you will never kill me, nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. And then he had brought them down. There they were, spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before those, the other livestock, and said, this is David's war. Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at the brook of Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so. With what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand, for the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this manner? But as his part is what goes down to the battle, so shall his part be, who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. So it was from that day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. Now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to those who were in Bethel, those who were in Ramoth, and of the south, who were in Dittar, those who were in Arab, those who were in Sephanamoth, those who were in Eshtemoah, those who were in Rachel, those who were in the cities of the Jerushalmites, those who were in the cities of the Kenites, those who were in Armah, those who were in Shurishon, those who were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were accustomed to rove. Chapter 31 of the book of 1 Samuel, the tragic end of Saul and his sons. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gibeon. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Meshal, Saul's son. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thus and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. For Saul took a sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died together that same day. And when the men of Israel, who were on the other side of the valley, and those who were on the other side of the Jordan, saw that the men of Israel had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So it happened the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gibeon. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim it in the temple of their idols and among the people. Then they put his army in the temple of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. Now, when the inhabitants of Gibeon Gilead heard that the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valor men rose and traveled all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there. Then they took their bones and buried them under the terebinth tree at Jabesh 7 days. And this is from my women's Bible, and I'll go back to life lessons from our study Bible, but it says this: as you strive to live a life of eternal significance, may you rest in God's sovereignty over all of your days. May you acquire the surrendered worship of Hannah and the skillful wisdom of Abigail. And above all, may you be a woman after God's own heart, zealous for God's glory, trusting that he will fulfill his purpose for you, and believing that obedience indeed is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 15, 22, if you want to know where that word comes from. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And that was the whole issue with Saul. He was trying to sacrifice when what he should have been, obedient. So that is our word for 1 Samuel this morning. And some life lessons from 1 Samuel from Dr. Stanley. And the first one is this. In verse 30, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag. The blessing and anointing of the Lord does not exempt a person from hardship and tragedy. Did y'all hear that? The blessing and anointing of the Lord does not exempt a person from hardship and tragedy. Yet the Lord is at work even through tragedy. And he asks us to trust him even in the hard times. God wants us to trust him even when we're going through. And we all have gone through. We all have had that something that is like a thorn in our side that we're like, "I don't get it, God. Why does this keep happening?" And God tells us, why not you? It's hard because we want to say, Lord, why? Why did this happen too? And he says, why not? And it's hard to hear the why not from God. Why not you? Because understand, iron is sharpening iron. As you go through, it's to make you stronger. But you feel like, Lord, why? I'm speaking for myself. I can't speak for anybody else, but I can say, I felt that. Why, Lord? And then I heard God say, why not you? And that was hard to hear. Why am I going through this? And he says, why not you? Because when you are called and when you are anointed, you're going to go through more than some. Because God is making you strong. Because you got to fight. You fight harder because you're fighting more against the enemy than anybody else. Because you have an anointing. You have a calling. You have work to do. But it is hard. I would be a liar not to tell you that it is hard. God says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 20, this is David's spoil. As he had done with Joseph centuries before, God took a personal tragedy for David and turned it into a personal blessing. Obedience always brings blessings, even in dark and puzzling times. Don't think you've lost. Whatever it is, God is just preparing you for double for your trouble. Ask Job. Ask Job double for his trouble. God will bless you even in your test. Because from your test will come a powerful testimony. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 22. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered, even after times of victory, the wicked and the worthless can rise their complaints. God allows the weak and the tares to grow together. See Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. And we must be ready for this and make sure we know how to handle their criticism with God's grace. And when we talk about the wheat and the tare, understand that there is tare in every church. There's a whole lot of wheat. And on occasion, you got some tare playing about. They are the folks that leave the church and talk about everybody in it like they are junkyard dogs. They are folks that want to criticize, but instead of helping, they don't want to do anything. They just want to talk about the ones that are doing something. And all they do is their job, which is to cause confusion. And that is what they do, cause confusion. They are the ones that run folks out of the church through church hurt because they've been there for 50 years. And that's been their seat for all those 50 years. Excuse me. Even if your name is on it and somebody is visiting, you don't ask a visitor to move so you can sit where you sit because you done sit there for the last 50 years. Excuse me. You can't sit someplace else today and let a visitor have your seat because they don't know who you are. I remember going to a revival with a friend and getting basically moved out of our seat by someone, first and foremost, who came late and had a brew with them and to go move us out because that was their seat. They bought it. Excuse me. It was rude. It was obnoxious. And it was so unchristian. And I know one thing, God convicted her like it wasn't nobody's business. She had a shitty shot all over the place later because of conviction. God convicted her because she was wrong. We don't do that kind of stuff. You don't move somebody out because you late wanting to sit in a certain place. That's not a God. But this is a parable of the wheat and the tares. And it says this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 through 30. And it says there's another parable he put forth to this thing. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in it. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain is sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appear. So the servant of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reaper, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Understand, the saved and the unsaved are going to be together until eternity. But then God will do the shakeup, and the tare will go where they're going to hell, and the wheat will go where they're going to heaven. Good and evil. There are those that will say at the end, Lord, Lord, I did all these things. And God will say, I don't know you. Tare. And then there's going to be those that he says, come on in, my good and faithful servant. Wheat. So David had good and bad in his 600. Because those that followed him were not always the greatest of people. But David was a strong leader, and he could lead the good, the bad, and the ugly in God. Life lesson, 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 2. The Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, Malchon, I am not sure how to pronounce his name, of Saul's son, so please forgive me. And it says, Jonathan loved God and delighted in his close friend David, and yet the Lord allowed the Philistines to kill him. Why? We could speculate, but God does not tell us why. Even in tragedy, our job is to trust. And that is hard. But I understand from your tragedy will come a trajectory for you to go where God wants you to go. I can only, again, speak for myself. I would not be here had God not tragedy in my life. Had God not done what he did, because I was sitting on my gifts. I was sitting on partially my gifts because I worked it, but not like I was supposed to. And God had to do some things that messed me up, knocked me down, tore me up from the floor up. But God, from my tragedy, came a ministry, and I can do nothing but say, God, your will, not mine. And it was hard because I talked to God. I argued with God, and God tore my behind up, but he also gave me a hug and called me to work for him. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 9, they cut off his head and stripped off his armor. God sometimes allows his enemies to triumph and even to celebrate and believe that they have overcome him, but only for a while. God takes the long view of history and always triumphs in the end. The enemy thinks he's winning, but I can tell you one thing. He has won nothing, and he can do nothing unless, again, God allows it. Unless God allows it, the enemy is powerless. He can roam to and fro all over the earth, but he can't do anything unless he's allowed to. And a last section before we go into 2 Samuel from 1 Samuel. And it's just a few things. I'm not reading the whole thing from Dr. Stanley. I would definitely suggest to everyone, and again, I have to disclaim, I am not paid by In Touch Ministries to hawk Dr. Stanley's Bible, but I am just saying as a member of clergy that this is a great Bible to have in your arsenal, and it is guaranteed for life, as it says on the outside of the Bible, growing in knowledge and understanding of God through his word. And this is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am, again, coming out of the New King James Version. And I tell you, it is so worth having. because it's a daily word. Even after we finish this word this year in December, I would ask to just everybody have it just for your own personal daily reading so that you can go to it. If you're looking for a particular thing, you can go to any day. If you say, Lord, I just need a word, you can go to the day and find a word from God. Always, you can find a word from God, whether it's a psalm or a proverb, but whatever it is, it's going to touch your heart because God gave it to you for a purpose and a reason. But this is the word. It says the dark moments of our life will last only so long as is necessary for God to accomplish his purpose in us. And these are a few things. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. I believe God's principal threads into our adversity. The first one, adversity is God's choice tool for building godly spiritual character into our lives. Until we experience heartache, disappointment, and pain, we are not properly equipped for service. He uses the adversity to mold and shape us. He does not bring it into our lives without purpose. And I can tell you that is the truth. Heartache, yes. Disappointment, yes. Pain, yes. Had it all. But God. Number two, adversity usually comes in areas where we feel the most confident. God wants to break us of the idea that we are sufficient on our own. He made us for a loving, dependent relationship with himself. And he uses adversity to remind us of the fact. Been there, done that, got the adversity t-shirt. God ultimately designs to conform you to the likeness of Jesus. He has sometimes definite in mind. God allows adversity to mold and shape you, but he uses it only so long as it is needed. Once it has performed its function, he takes it away. What do you think God has in mind when he allows adversity to invade your life? I believe, and this is Dr. Stanley, God wants to accomplish several goals in your life and mind by allowing suffering and heartache into our experience. Adversity. Get our attention. He got mine. Deliver us from pride. Absolutely. Reveal our weaknesses and strengths. Absolutely. Still got some weaknesses. Still working on them. Increase our hatred of sin. Absolutely. Demonstrates the faithfulness of God. I can say absolutely. Everything on this list is an absolute. Strengthens our faith. Absolutely. Removes pride and self-centeredness. You better believe it. Prepares us for future service. Yes. Enables us to comfort others facing adversity. Absolutely. Everything on Dr. Stanley's list is an absolute. Because all of us have gone through adversity. Question is, how do you use yours? Do you use it for the kingdom? Or do you sit on it and complain? We got to get up and go to work. Because we work for God. As our word says this morning, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. Through adversity, he is molding you into a mature child of God. Whenever God sees you, he sees a saint, sometimes struggling, sometimes falling, but justified, redeemed, forgiven, and reconciled to him. He sees a saint full of his unconditional love, indwelt by his presence, sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, whose name is written in the Lamb's book of life. He sees you on your way to heaven with purpose and direction in your life. He sees someone in whom adversity can never take a permanent residence. Can the church say amen and hallelujah? Understand. We are sons and daughters of God, and he loves us more than anything. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. And this morning we have our next word is coming out of 2 Samuel. And y'all know I got my little book, which I absolutely love it. Also, not again, working for any particular company or anything, but I have a little book that I just love, and it's called All 66 Books Explained and Applied. Know Your Bible is what it says. And it gives just a little quick overview of every chapter of the Bible. And when we get to 2 Samuel, which is where we're going now, it just gives us 2 Samuel in 10 words or less. And it's this: David becomes Israel's greatest king, but with major flaws. It sums it up: Israel's greatest king, but with major flaws. And that has just summed up 2 Samuel. And this is what it says: unknown, but not Samuel, since the events of the book take place after his death. Some suggest Abiathar the priest. And then as far as who the author of 2 Samuel is. And this is what it says. It details, please. When King Saul dies, David is made king by the southern Jewish tribe of Judah. 7 years later, after the death of Saul's son Ish-Shabosh, king of the northern tribes, David becomes ruler of all Israel. Capturing Jerusalem from the Jebusites, David creates a new capital for his unified nation. And God promises David, your throne will be established forever. Military victories make Israel strong. But when David stays home from battle one spring, he commits adultery with a beautiful neighbor, Bathsheba. Then he has her husband, one of his soldiers, murdered. The prophet Nathan confronts David with a story of a rich man who steals a poor man's sheep. David is furious until Nathan announces, thou art the man. Just as David repents and God forgives his sins, but their consequences will affect David powerfully. The baby conceived in the tryst dies, and David's family begins to splinter. One of David's sons, Ammon, rapes his half-sister, and a second son, Absalom, full brother to the violated girl, kills Ammon in revenge. Absalom conspires to steal the kingdom from David, causing his father to flee for his life. When Absalom dies in battle with David's men, David grieves so greatly that he offends his soldiers. Ultimately, David returns to Jerusalem to reassert his kingship. He also raises another son born to Bathsheba, Solomon. And these are some quotables from 2 Samuel. As we get to them, it says, in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 25, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? 2 Samuel verse chapter 18, verse 33, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son, my son. And, you know, that's when his soldiers was about ready to beat David down because of all the mess Absalom had done and David's grieving his son who wanted to kill him. So, anyway, we'll get to that. Unique and unusual, David's nephew killed a Philistine of great stature that had on every hand six fingers and one on every foot six toes. And that's 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 20. David's top soldier, Adino, once killed 800 men single-handedly. Chapter 23, verse 8. So what? King David's story highlights the virtual importance of the choices we make. Who would have guessed that such a great man could fall into such terrible sin? And that is 2 Samuel summed up. As we get into it, we are only going to be reading chapter 1. We will get chapter 2 in on Sunday because that's what God just told me. So we're going to start it, and then we'll get into it with our John words on Sunday because we'll be in John chapter 4 on Sunday, and we'll also be in 2 Samuel chapter 2 on Sunday. And it says this: now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had stayed into days 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, behold, it happened that a man came from Saul's camp with his clothes torn in dust on his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. And David said to him, where have you come from? So he said to him, I have escaped from the camp of Israel. Then David said to him, how did this matter go? Please tell me. And he answered, the people have fled from the battle. Many other people are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. So David said to the young man who told him, how do you know that Saul and Jonathan his son are dead? Then the young man who had told him said, as I happened by chance to be on Mount Gibor, there was Saul leaning on his spear. And indeed the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. Now he looked behind him. He saw me and called me, and I answered, here I am. And he said to me, who are you? And so I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said to me again, please stand over me and kill me, for anguish has come upon me, but my life still remains in me. So I stood over him and killed him, because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown that was on his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and I brought them here to my Lord. Therefore David took hold of his own clothes and tore them, and so did all the men who were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan, his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. Then David said to the young man who told him, where are you from? And he answered, I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite. So David said to him, how was it you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? Then David called one of the young men and said, go near and execute him. And he struck him so that he died. So David said to him, your blood is on your own head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, I have killed the Lord's anointed. Then David lamented with his lamentations over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. And he told them to teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. Indeed, it is written in the book of Jeshurun, the beauty of Israel is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath, claim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. O mountain of Gibor, let there be no dew nor rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for the shield of the mighty is cast away there, the shield of Saul not anointed with oil, from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty. The bow of Jonathan did not turn back, and the sword of Saul did not return empty. Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives, and in their deaths they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perished. And just a life lesson from 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 16. Your blood is on your own head, for your own mouth has testified against you, hoping for a reward. 2 Samuel 4 and 10, the Amalekite lied about his role in Saul's death, but he had just stripped the dead king of some personal effects. David rewarded him with death, since no man had the right to kill the Lord's anointed. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26, I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. David honored Saul in his lament, but he celebrated Jonathan, his dear friend. David became what he was, at least in part because of Jonathan's. Friends play an important role in shaping our spiritual destinies. And again, we will be in 2 Samuel chapter 2 on Sunday. And we'll get in our Psalms as well. I am so grateful today for such a mighty word of God. You know, this has touched my heart. It has touched my spirit. It has touched my absolute. For God has given us everything we need because we are his children and he is our refuge. Never think that God is not there for you. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. As long as we keep that in our heart, in our mind, and in our spirit, the enemy cannot touch you. Don't allow him to knock you off your square. When he comes at you, that's when you say, Lord, put up a standard. And God will put a standard all around you and yours. Even when we go through, understand, it's only to make us stronger. You are daughters and sons of God. Let God know, I know who you are, Father. I know your voice, and I trust in you. I put my strength in you. For Lord, you are my rock, and you are my refuge. Keep God first in everything you do and watch him work in your life. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Good morning. Don't let stress get the best of you. God is the ultimate problem solver. Have a fantastic Friday, family. It's a wrap. Join me again on Sunday as we move forward through 2 Samuel and John chapter 4. I'm excited. We got a lot of word in today, and we're going to get in more word on Sunday, God willing. Thank you so much for joining me as we have Bible study. The word of God is so true. When we take it to heart, when we let it percolate in our systems and in our mind, like a good cup of coffee, God is going to be so good and so rich that it's just going to fill you up till you overflow. To let God's word permeate and percolate inside of you today and know that you are special. You are loved. You are sons and daughters of God. And he alone is your rock and your strength. He is our salvation through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Have a blessed day, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of our Savior, Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And remember that even when you're going through your struggle, God is there holding you up. He is there with you, and he will not let you falter, and he will not let you fail. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap. Why? Because we're always willing, ready, available, and presently praying for each and every one of you. Have a blessed day, family. And as Sister Carolyn said, have a fantastic Friday. And a word of one more time, just so it gets in your spirit. Don't let stress get the best of you. God is the ultimate problem solver. Have a fantastic Friday. It's a wrap. Why? Because it's time for us to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Join me again on Sunday, God willing. Have a blessed day.